there's nowhere for the water to go right now. So, when they're ready to lower it, they're going to just do it. I don't know where it's going to go. I know they're flooded up north right now. So
it's dropped a foot in the last 2 days.
There you go.
Really?
So it's going down. They opened it up and it came down
fast. I think they were planning it opening November 13th.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Well,
I wouldn't, I did not hear that. So,
yeah, we just noticed it all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's another one. Mike?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to miss the point. How large is the patch on the west side?
The small patch there?
Oh, I think it's probably this big.
Oh, it's small.
Real small. I mean, we're looking all around it. In fact, all patches we have are relatively tiny. If you think about it, it's one, it looks like it's one popular one, maybe one plant. Zero so far. Put some tubers down, it's just one of here. They just aren't expanding at this point.
Okay. So you're not really at a point where broad scale herbicide application, be the right tool,
right? And if we look back at what Rob Richardson and Mike Netherland suggested a few years ago, that this was after our initial review, but a couple years ago, the last time we had interaction with them, in both cases, they talked about at some point we have to shift back to treating small. Little small things somehow and move away from that. Well, that's where we're at now, I guess. But
and Bob, about how deep is the water where you found that little thing?
On the west shore is 3.5 to 4 meters. Mm-hmm. It's deep, and the one on the other side is 3.5 meters. The one at the Cornell Sailing Club is 4 meters. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they're deep.
Earlier sort of given public instructions for hydrilla hunting that people should be, you know, along the shoreline and as the water clears into the fall and even into the winter to look for mounded plants on the bottom as the water clears. And, you know, John, if you wanted to set yourself a task, you could be roaming up and down the shoreline there looking. But that's deep enough that I don't think you could spot it that way.
I can't spot it visually.
Yeah.
I mean, we tried with cameras the other day, but it was after the big storm, and
wow.
It just, we don't have enough light out there. The silt was way up the lake. Even up there, it was not visible, so we couldn't do that. But I think you're still right to look in the shallow areas, because if you have some hydrilla growing out a little further, it should get in to a point where it's this deep or so, and it would be growing there, then you'd know you got something out deeper. But I think it's still the best thing is if you have limited resources to look along the shorelines, it should pop up there first.
Bill Foster again, Fluent Classroom, for those out there on TV line. So I think, you know, I don't want to detract from the idea that as far as the Cougar Inlet and Fall Creek are concerned, this does seem like a success story. But I think I just want to put out there that I think we have to be careful as far as, you know, how we're defining our terms, whether we're looking at a particular portion of the system. Obvious to my fit thinking, if I look at the entire south end of the lake, I'm not seeing a success story. I'm seeing a problem migrating. And I also think it's really important that we think about the entire system. We're having a degree of success impacting the presence of hydrilla, but what's happening to the rest of the system out there? What are the ramifications of removing hydrilla, other aquatic plants from these systems? I think that's something we also need to think about as we define long-term success and where we're going with this. So I don't know if you have any comments, but I do want to put that out there.
How do the mats work? Are they on the bottom?
Yeah.
And do they just block sunlight, or how do they
Bob?
Well, they're essentially on the bottom. They're actually physically preventing. So the hydrilla, we're doing this at another place up at Tinker Nature Park in Rochester, a 1 acre pond. There we have put down huge layers of benthic cloth and sewed them together. And this summer, last year was the first year, this summer was the spring was the first time, second year, when we lifted the mats up, the hydrilla had germinated and was underneath there and had gone out its rhizome, this pure white rhizome, trying to grow up. But it, number one, it, hydrilla doesn't need much light. It's a plant that needs probably the least amount of light. All of our aquatic plants, it's one of them that can grow in pretty dark conditions. But it's not going to do anything under there because it physically can't get out to get light. And eventually it's going to die, which is what happened there. But it did try to stretch out and grow after it germinated and came up. But the barrier is a physical barrier on the plant. And the main thing is it's supposed to shade it and cut out the light. And they're a problem because you have to have some kind of weight to keep them down. So that's the big issue. And they're a lot of work to put down.
Where do you get the funding to do all the work that you
do? It's federal funding, federal and state, actually, a mixture of both.
Do you expect this funding to continue?
So we have contracts that run through, I think, the next 4 years already set up. So we're going to apply for the funding and every season until it comes to an end, which that may not, you know, may not be one. U.S. Fish and Wildlife, DEC, just after, those are the types of funding sources.
That's Cuyahoga County asking the question.
Matt.
Okay, I thank you. That's a wonderful. Thank you very much.